Hello everybody, I'm delighted to be with you today to talk about the proposed licensing regimes for virtual asset OTC services and stablecoin issuers in Hong Kong, as well as the Hong Kong Monetary Authority's sandbox for stablecoin issuers. On the 8th of February 2024, the Financial Services and Treasury Bureau, FSTB, published a consultation paper seeking views on proposals to regulate OTC trading of virtual assets under a new licensing regime for providers of virtual asset OTC services under the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Ordinance, which I'll refer to as the AMLO. The consultation period ended on the 12th of April 2024, and the FSTB has yet to publish its consultation conclusions as at the date of this webinar. The FSTB noted that there is an emerging consensus globally that virtual asset regulations should address the potential money laundering and terrorist financing risks posed to the international financial system, given the growing adoption of trading in cryptocurrencies and other virtual assets. The FSTB considers that virtual assets have greater vulnerability to money laundering and terrorist financing risks, given that they enable greater pseudonymity or anonymity and decentralization compared to traditional transfer, safekeeping or custodian means, and these features can be abused to facilitate layering of crime proceeds into fiat money through interfaces with the traditional financial system. The FSTB explained that virtual assets, of which many do not have any intrinsic value and may be considered to be highly speculative and volatile, present challenges to investor protection, which can be seen in their growing association with fraud, security breaches and market manipulation, both globally and locally. The Hong Kong government initiated the development of a comprehensive framework to regulate virtual assets in its policy statement on development of virtual assets in Hong Kong in October 2022. In the policy statement, the government stated its commitment to regulate virtual asset activities under the same activity, same risks, same regulation principle. In June 2023, a licensing regime for operators of virtual asset trading platforms came into effect under amendments to the AMLO requiring VATP operators to be licensed by the SFC and to comply with the anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing provisions, which I'm going to refer to as the AML-CTF in this webinar. These are set out in Schedule 2 to the AMLO. It's an offence to operate a VATP in Hong Kong or to actively market the services of a VATP to the Hong Kong public without a licence. The licensing requirements and ongoing obligations are stringent, particularly for VATPs that want to allow retail investors to trade on their platforms. The regime also severely restricts the virtual assets that retail investors are allowed to trade, essentially only allowing the trading of the largest and most liquid virtual assets, Bitcoin and Ether. Currently, only two VATPs have been licensed by the SFC. The SFC is equipped with supervisory, investigative and intervention powers. People not complying with the regulatory requirements may be liable to administrative and criminal sanctions. However, the VATP licensing regime applies only to centralized VATPs that provide virtual asset trading services to clients using an automated trading engine which matches client orders and also provide custody service as an ancillary service to their trading services. It does not, therefore, apply to the provision of over-the-counter virtual asset trading activities. According to the FSTB's consultation paper, in 2023, there were several cases of shops providing OTC virtual asset trading services to retail investors, making false or misleading claims as to their license status. Some virtual asset OTC shops have served as one of the main avenues for channeling retail investors' funds to schemes that are suspected of fraud. This has prompted the Hong Kong government to regulate virtual asset OTC services. The FSTB estimates that there are approximately 200 physical virtual asset OTC shops, including ATMs, operating in Hong Kong, and about 250 digital platforms or active online posts on virtual asset trading services in Hong Kong. The FSTB is proposing that any person operating a virtual asset OTC business in Hong Kong or actively marketing the provision of virtual asset OTC services to the Hong Kong public will have to obtain a license issued by the Commissioner of Customs and Excise. A virtual asset OTC business is defined as by way of business providing a service of spot trading of any virtual asset through a physical outlet, which would include ATMs or other platforms such as a digital platform. The definition will explicitly exclude the operation of a VATP, which is already covered under the VATP licensing regime. The definition will also exclude peer-to-peer trading between individuals unless the trade constitutes the business activity of either party. There will be an exemption from the licensing requirement for SFC licensed corporations and banks regulated by the Hong Kong Monetary Authority. The proposed regulator for the new regime will be the CCE rather than the SFC, which regulates the VATP licensing regime. The CCE will be provided with powers for enforcing the regime and regulating licensed virtual asset OTC service providers in accordance with the statutory requirements. Looking first at the proposed eligibility requirements, applicants for VA OTC licensing will need to be a Hong Kong incorporated company with a permanent place of business in Hong Kong, or a company incorporated overseas, which is registered in Hong Kong under the company's ordinance. Applicants providing virtual asset OTC services from a physical outlet will need to identify suitable premises for their operations. Digital virtual asset OTC operators will be required to provide details such as the address of the local management office, the correspondence address, and the designated location for storage of books and records. In determining whether an applicant is fit and proper, the CCE will consider all relevant factors, including but not limited to whether the applicant or any of its directors or its ultimate owner have any previous convictions for money laundering or terrorist financing or other serious offences in Hong Kong or overseas, or any convictions for fraudulent, corrupt or dishonest conduct. Other relevant factors include whether the applicant, any of its directors or its ultimate owner has been the subject of bankruptcy or liquidation proceedings, or has failed or may potentially fail to comply with the AML-CTF regulations and other requirements for licensed virtual asset OTC operators. Under the proposed regime, licensed virtual asset OTC operators will be allowed to engage in spot trading of any virtual asset for any money or vice versa. However, licensees will be prohibited from providing virtual assets to virtual asset trading services, which require a VATP license. In any event, the FSTB noted in the consultation paper that most of the trades conducted through OTC shops involve the buying or selling of virtual assets using fiat money, and that virtual asset to virtual asset trades are rarely conducted through OTC shops. In order to remit fiat money to clients, a virtual asset OTC operator will additionally need to apply for a money service operator license. As the CCE also regulates money service operators, the FSTB noted in the consultation paper that consideration will be given to streamlining the application process where applicable to minimize compliance costs. If a licensee will transfer virtual assets to clients after sale, it must transfer the virtual assets from its wallets registered with the CCE to a wallet for which the client provides proof of ownership and or control. Use of a wallet not owned by the virtual asset OTC client is not allowed, and the FSTB has given some examples of methods of confirming ownership that would be acceptable. These include requesting the customer to perform the micropayment test, which is confirming that the firm can transfer a very small amount to the wallet address designated by the customer and asking the customer to send it back. Licensees will need to make an application to the CCE in relation to the complete list of wallets to be used in their operations. They will also be required to register the list with the CCE and ensure that the list is kept up to date. Other services such as virtual asset advisory or referral services and offering virtual asset derivatives or other financial products, including staking, lending and margin trading, will not be permitted. As to the types of virtual assets that can be the subject of spot trading, virtual asset OTC licensees will only be allowed to offer spot trading in virtual assets that can be traded by retail investors on at least one SFC licensed VATP and stablecoins issued by issuers licensed by the HKMA. So a licensed virtual asset OTC operator offering services in respect of any tokens not accessible to retail investors on at least one SFC licensed VATP or any stablecoins not issued by issuers licensed by the HKMA will be in breach of the proposed virtual asset OTC regulatory regime. The FSTB considers that this approach will help ensure that the virtual assets accessible to retail investors are subject to proper approval procedures and help to prevent regulatory arbitrage. As I mentioned earlier, there are currently only two licensed VATPs in Hong Kong. Under the SFC's VATP guidelines, licensed VATP operators can only offer retail trading in virtual assets that are highly liquid. For a virtual asset to be considered highly liquid, it must be an eligible large cap virtual asset, which is defined as a virtual asset that is included in a minimum of two acceptable indices issued by at least two independent index providers. An acceptable index is an index with a clearly defined objective to measure the performance of the largest virtual assets in the global market. For example, an index which measures the top 10 largest virtual assets, which is investable, meaning that the constituent virtual assets should be sufficiently liquid and objectively calculated and rules-based. In practice, only the very largest virtual assets, such as Bitcoin and Ether, meet the definition. As to licensees' ability to provide spot trading in stablecoins issued by HKMA-licensed stablecoin issuers, the FSTB is currently consulting on a proposed licensing regime for issuers of fiat-referenced stablecoins, which I'll talk about in the second part of this webinar. The proposed licensing regime will not apply to issuers of stablecoins referencing other assets, for example, gold or other commodities, nor will it apply to algorithmic stablecoins, which will not satisfy the requirement that the stablecoins are fully backed by reserve assets. This proposal will restrict considerably the types of virtual assets that can be the subject of virtual asset OTC licensees spot trading. The FSTB says in the consultation paper that it considers it necessary to adopt stringent standards of supervision in order to provide adequate investor protection, given that virtual asset OTC operators will be serving the investing public. In terms of the licensing requirements for virtual asset OTC operators, the FSTB says in the consultation paper that the proposed requirements are aimed at ensuring that they will have the capacity and know-how to operate their virtual asset OTC business properly, which should in turn mitigate the risks to investors arising from system failures or security breaches. Under the proposed licensing regime, virtual asset OTC operators will be required to observe the AML-CTF requirements set out in Schedule 2 to the AMLO relating to customer due diligence and record keeping. They will also be required to appoint a competent compliance officer and a money laundering reporting officer in order that fit and proper personnel will be responsible for ensuring compliance with the relevant regulatory requirements. A virtual asset OTC operator will need to have a proper corporate governance structure staffed by personnel with the necessary knowledge of and experience with virtual assets to enable them to effectively discharge their responsibilities. Virtual asset OTC operators will also be required to operate their business in a prudent and sound manner, act honestly, fairly, with due skill, care and diligence, and in the best interest of their clients and the integrity of the market, have appropriate risk management policies and procedures to manage AML, CTF, cybersecurity and other risks, and to keep records of transactions and fund flows, which must be made accessible to the CCE when required. The CCE will only grant a license to applicants who meet these requirements. Looking now at the proposed duration of a virtual asset OTC license, given the ever-changing nature of the virtual asset market, the FSTB proposes an initial license period of 2 years, with the possibility of renewal for an additional 2 years on application to and approval from the CCE. This will enable the CCE to regularly monitor licensees' competence and capacity to properly conduct their business. To facilitate transition into the new licensing regime of legitimate existing virtual asset OTC operators, the FSTB is proposing a 6-month transitional period before the commencement of the new licensing regime for virtual asset OTC businesses already operating in Hong Kong. The FSTB is seeking comments on two alternative options. Option one is the no deeming arrangement option. Under this option, existing virtual asset OTC service providers will be allowed to continue operating during the 6-month transitional period, but will need to apply to the CCE for a license within the first 3 months of that period. When the transitional period ends, virtual asset OTC service providers must be licensed in order to be able to operate. If existing virtual asset OTC service providers fail to apply for a license within the first 3 months of the transitional period, they will need to shut down their business before the end of the fourth month of the transitional period. The second option is the with deeming arrangement option. As under option one, existing virtual asset OTC service providers will be allowed to continue operating during the six-month transitional period and will need to apply to the CCE for a license within the first 3 months of that period. Applicants meeting the licensing requirements will be granted a deemed license, allowing them to continue operating after the end of the transitional period until the CCE determines whether to approve or refuse their license application. Similar to the licensing regime for virtual asset trading platforms, the STB proposes to prohibit the active marketing of virtual asset OTC services in Hong Kong or elsewhere to the Hong Kong public unless the person holds a valid license as a virtual asset OTC service provider. This would prevent, for example, an overseas provider of virtual asset spot trading services from actively marketing its services to the Hong Kong public. The CCE, as the licensing authority, will be empowered to supervise the AML-CTF conduct of virtual asset OTC licensees and enforce the statutory and regulatory requirements under the new regime. The CCE will also have powers to impose licensing conditions, including to add to, vary or modify existing conditions and to enforce the statutory and regulatory requirements under the new regime. It will be given specific powers to enter licensees' business premises to conduct routine inspections, investigate incidents of suspected non-compliance, and remove evidence of the commission of an offence, and to carry out arrests and searches. The CCE will also be able to impose disciplinary sanctions for non-compliance. Given the enforcement experience under the VATP regime, consideration has also been given to providing for additional powers to prevent access to websites or digital platforms in or outside Hong Kong of virtual assets OTC operators involved in unlicensed or fraudulent activities. The CCE will also be able to obtain information from other relevant authorities such as the SFC and the HKMA for the purpose of investigating suspected non-compliance by any licensee. Turning now to the various proposed sanctions for the various offences under the new regime, the FSTB considers that virtual asset OTC operations inherently entail risks in respect of AML-CTF and other criminal activities such as fraud. To achieve the necessary deterrent effect, the FSTB has proposed that the offence of conducting a regulated virtual asset OTC service without a licence would be subject to a fine of $1 million and imprisonment for 2 years. These penalties will also apply to the offence of actively marketing VA OTC services to the Hong Kong public without a licence. The FSTB is also proposing to make it an offence to knowingly issue an advertisement relating to an unlicensed person's provision of virtual asset OTC services, which will be liable to a level 5 fine of HK$50,000 and imprisonment for 6 months. A licensee's non-compliance with the statutory AML-CTF requirements will also be an offence carrying penalties of a fine of HK$1 million and imprisonment for 2 years. Virtual asset OTC operators will additionally be subject to the AMLO's existing offences relating to fraudulent and misleading activities. There are two principal offences. The first is the offence under Section 53ZRF of engaging in fraudulent or deceptive behaviour in transactions involving virtual assets, which carries maximum penalties of a HK$10 million fine and 10 years imprisonment. The second is the offence of making a fraudulent or reckless misrepresentation for the purpose of inducing another person to engage in a transaction involving virtual assets under Section 53ZRG, for which the penalties are a fine of HK$1 million and 7 years imprisonment. Licensed virtual asset OTC operators that breach any of the applicable regulatory requirements will be liable to suspension or revocation of their licence, reprimand, remedial order, and or a pecuniary penalty not exceeding HK$500,000. I'm now going to talk about the proposed regulatory regime for stablecoin issuers. On the 27th of December 2023, the FSTB and the HKMA jointly issued a consultation paper with proposals for a licensing regime for certain stablecoin issuers in Hong Kong. According to the consultation paper, the proposed stablecoin regime seeks to tackle concerns related to monetary policy, financial stability, and investor protection that are linked to fiat reference stablecoins, and to promote the responsible growth of the virtual asset market in Hong Kong as an extension of the licensing regime for virtual asset exchanges implemented on the 1st of June 2023. During the two-month public consultation period, the FSTB and the HKMA received 108 submissions, and the consultation conclusions were issued on the 18th of July 2024. The consultation conclusions noted that the HKMA is preparing a bill to implement the proposed regulatory regime and intends to introduce it into LegCo later in 2024. In the consultation documents, the FSTB and the HKMA noted the potential benefits of the virtual asset sector in improving financial system accessibility and efficiency, as well as creating new business opportunities. The regulators state in those documents that they are closely monitoring the international market and regulatory developments to ensure regulatory harmony and are working with other stakeholders to establish necessary guardrails for sustainable virtual asset innovation in Hong Kong. One of the key considerations of the regulators are the risks from the perspectives of monetary and financial stability, consumer protection and anti-money laundering and terrorist financing. The regulators are of the view that stablecoins, especially fiat reference stablecoins, could pose monetary and financial stability concerns by serving as a channel for risks to spill over from the virtual asset sector to the traditional financial system and vice versa. Therefore, they believe that the implementation of a risk-based regulatory regime for fiat reference stablecoin issuers can help mitigate these risks. The HKMA first issued a discussion paper in January 2022 setting out its view that appropriate regulatory treatment should be applied to stablecoins, and it confirmed in the consultation paper that it would put in place a regulatory regime. Having considered feedback from the previous HKMA discussion paper and other market stakeholders, the HKMA and FSTB then issued the 2023 consultation paper, providing further details of the envisioned regulatory regime. Under the current regulatory framework in Hong Kong, the licensing regime for virtual asset trading platforms is overseen by the SFC under the AMLO, while the licensing regime for stored values facilities is overseen by the HKMA under the Payment Systems and Stored Value Facilities Ordinance. The FSTB and HKMA propose to introduce a standalone new piece of legislation to establish the regulatory regime for stablecoin issuers rather than amend existing legislation such as the AMLO or the Stored Value Ordinance. They made this decision based on the recognition that stablecoins and stored value facilities may have different features, and a new ordinance is considered more suitable in view of the complex nature of the virtual asset market. They also believe that this new legislation will serve as the foundation for extending the regulatory regime to cover other virtual asset-related activities as necessary and appropriate in the future. According to the FSTB and the HKMA, the key policy objectives of the proposed stablecoin regulatory regime are to put in place appropriate safeguards to address potential monetary and financial stability risks posed by fiat reference stablecoins, to provide adequate protection to fiat reference stablecoin users, to put in place an appropriate regulatory regime for fiat reference stablecoin issuers that's in line with international regulatory recommendations, and to foster sustainable and responsible development of the virtual asset ecosystem in Hong Kong by providing legal and regulatory clarity. The definition of stablecoin, which is proposed, is a cryptographically secured digital representation of value having the following features. It's expressed as a unit of account or store of economic value. Its use or intended use is as a medium of exchange accepted by the public for the purpose of payment for goods or services, discharge of a debt or investment. It can be transferred, stored, or traded electronically. It uses distributed ledger technology and purports to maintain a stable value with reference to a specified asset or a pool of or basket of assets. Deposits, securities, and futures contracts, float stored in stored value facilities, digital representations of fiat currencies issued by central banks, and digital representations of value with limited purposes are excluded from the definition. Specifically, the regulators propose to regulate fiat reference stablecoins, which they consider pose more imminent monetary and financial stability risks. The original proposal was for the definition to only cover stablecoins using a distributed ledger that is not controlled solely by the issuer. Some respondents to the consultation questioned whether the proposed definition would cover stablecoins issued on distributed ledgers that are controlled by multiple parties acting in a concerted manner, such as a consortium blockchain. Others noted that the proposed definition would not cover stablecoins operating on digital ledgers that are controlled by a single party, such as a private blockchain run by a single party. The regulators confirmed in the consultation conclusions that they will amend the fourth limb of the definition by clarifying that the stablecoins subject to the proposed regime are those operated on a decentralized distributed ledger or similar technology. The term decentralized distributed ledger will refer to a distributed ledger in which no person has the unilateral authority to control or materially alter its functionality or operation. Fiat reference stablecoins will be defined as stablecoins where the referenced asset is one or more fiat currencies. The regulators have proposed that the issuance of an FRS would be a regulated stablecoin activity, given that an FRS could potentially be developed into a commonly acceptable means of payment, which in their view would pose more imminent monetary and financial stability risks as compared to other virtual assets or other types of stablecoins, such as commodity reference stablecoins. The regulators have noted that they will put in place requirements proportionate to the complexity of FRS issuers' operations to ensure that the associated risks are adequately addressed, such as in the case of multi-currency reference stablecoins. They also noted that they will closely monitor market developments and adjust the regulatory remit as and when necessary, given the fast-evolving market landscape of virtual assets. The proposed regulatory regime will prioritize the regulation of FRS issuance activity to address the financial stability risks and enhance protection for FRS issuers. The question of what will be considered as an issuance activity will generally be decided on a case-by-case basis according to the specific facts and circumstances. The regulators are intending to provide guidance to the industry on this issue when the licensing regime is implemented. Some respondents to the consultation commented that the regulatory regime should also cover other activities such as the management and custody of reserve assets, storage of private keys, and providing wallet services. In response, the regulators said that FRS issuers' proposed management of reserve assets will be assessed as part of their license application. As to private keys and wallet services, these activities will not be covered by the current regime. The regulators are exploring the approach on how to regulate the storage of private keys and the provision of wallet services and will engage the public and relevant stakeholders in the process. Under the proposed regime, an FRS issuer will need to obtain an FRS issuer license from the HKMA in order to issue or hold itself out as issuing an FRS in Hong Kong. Issue or hold itself out as issuing a stablecoin purporting to maintain a stable value with reference to the value of the Hong Kong dollar, or actively market its issuance of FRS to the Hong Kong public. Conducting any of these activities without a license will be a criminal offence. Some respondents to the consultation sought clarity around the concept of actively marketing its issuance of FRS to the public of Hong Kong, as they were unclear whether it was meant to cover unlicensed FRS issuers who actively market their own issuance, but not agents or intermediaries engaged by the issuers. The consultation conclusions confirmed that any person, including issuers, agents, and intermediaries, promoting unlicensed FRS issuance will commit an offence. However, agents or intermediaries who actively market a licensed entity's FRS issuance will not be regarded as issuing FRS themselves and will not require an FRS issuer license. When determining whether a person is actively marketing an issuance of FRS to the Hong Kong public, the HKMA will consider various factors similar to the approach adopted by the SFC, including the language used in the marketing messages, whether the message is targeted at a group of people that resides in Hong Kong, and whether a Hong Kong domain name is used for its website. Similarly, whether an FRS is issued in Hong Kong will depend on the facts and circumstances of each case. The factors to be considered will include The FRS issue as place of incorporation, the location of its operations, the provision of subsequent customer service to FRS users, and whether a Hong Kong bank account is used to process issuance and redemption requests. The regulators will provide guidelines on these matters. I'm now going to take a look at the licensing criteria and conditions under the proposed licensing regime. As the FSTB and HKMA are of the view that insufficient reserve assets could result in FRS issuers being unable to redeem all of their FRS for fiat currencies at par value, FRS issuers must ensure that the FRS are backed by reserve assets with a value equal to or greater than the par value of the FRS in circulation at all times. FRS issuers will also be required to demonstrate to the HKMA satisfaction that they have put in place sufficient measures to comply with this requirement, for example, over-collateralization arrangements. Issuers of FRS that derive their value solely from arbitrage or algorithm will not be licensed because they're not backed by reserves. Reserve assets must be of high quality and liquidity with minimal market credit and concentration risks. The regulators have said that high quality and high liquidity reserve assets may include coins and banknotes, deposits placed with licensed banks, marketable securities representing claims on or guaranteed by governments, central banks or qualified international organizations with high credit quality, overnight reserve repurchase agreements with minimal counterparty risk backed by these securities, and tokenized versions of these assets. FRS issuers would be required to demonstrate to the HKMA that their proposed investments are suitable and have an investment policy for reserve assets that undergoes regular review. Reserve assets will need to be held in the currency referenced by the FRS. Prior HKMA approval is required for holding reserve assets in a different currency, and the HKMA may insist on over-collateralization of the reserves to mitigate foreign exchange risks. However, the HKMA is proposing to allow issuers of Hong Kong dollar reference stablecoins to include US dollar denominated reserve assets. FRS issuers must put in place an effective trust arrangement to ensure the reserve assets are segregated and available to satisfy redemption requests and legal claims. The appointment of an independent trustee or a declaration of trust over the reserve assets will be considered as an acceptable trust arrangement. The HKMA should be given a draft of the relevant trustee together with a draft of an independent legal opinion before implementation of the trust arrangement. FRS issuers must set up segregated accounts for the reserve assets with licensed banks in Hong Kong, or if approved by the HKMA with other custodians. The FSTB and HKMA have noted that it is generally considered that safekeeping reserve assets with licensed banks in Hong Kong would provide greater user protection in the case of business disruptions or failures. However, the HKMA will consider individual proposals from FRS issuers on placing reserve assets in other jurisdictions on a case-by-case basis if they can demonstrate the need for the alternative arrangement, address any additional risks, and show that FRS users' interests are not compromised. FRS issuers must also implement an internal control policy to safeguard reserve assets against operational risks such as theft, fraud, and misappropriation. FRS issuers must have policies and controls to properly manage all investment activities related to the reserve assets to ensure that sufficient funds and liquid assets will be available to satisfy FRS redemption requests. They must also implement comprehensive liquidity risk management practices, which should set out the strategy and tools for handling large-scale redemptions. FRS issuers are also expected to conduct periodic stress testing to monitor the adequacy and the liquidity of the reserve assets. FRS issuers will also be required to formulate a reserve management policy to deal with both financial and operational risks in the course of managing their reserves. They're also subject to reporting obligations. An FRS issuer must regularly disclose the total amount of FRS in circulation and the market value and composition of the reserve assets. The exact frequency of these disclosures has yet to be set, but the FSTB and HKMA have said that they will strike a balance between the operational burden on FRS issuers and the need for transparency. FRS issuers will also be required to appoint a qualified and independent auditor to perform regular attestation on, amongst other things, the composition and market value of the reserve assets, the par value of FRS in circulation, whether the reserve assets are adequate to fully back the value of FRS in circulation, and are sufficiently liquid as of the last business day of the period covered by the attestation, and whether the HKMA's conditions on the management of reserves have been fulfilled. The independent auditor's attestation must be performed at least monthly. The FSTB and HKMA believe that verification by an independent trusted third party is important to providing assurance that the FRS in circulation are fully backed by reserve assets, irrespective of the size of circulation. FRS issuers will be prohibited from paying interest to FRS users, and any income or loss from the reserve assets must be attributed to the FRS issuer. FRS issuers will also be prohibited from making arrangements with third parties to provide interest to FRS users, but the offering of marketing incentives will be allowed, providing that these do not amount to interest payments. FRS issuers will have ultimate responsibility for ensuring the effective functioning of the stabilisation mechanism of the FRS they issue, even when they engage third parties to conduct stabilisation-related activities. FRS users must have the right to redeem their FRS at par value from the FRS issuer without undue costs or unreasonable conditions. FRS must be redeemed at par in the fiat currency or currencies referenced by the FRS. In normal circumstances, FRS issuers should fulfil any redemption requests within one business day after the day on which a redemption request is received. Where FRS issuers foresee difficulty in fulfilling redemption requests within one business day, they should seek the HKMA's prior approval. FRS issuers will be required to obtain approval from the HKMA before starting new business lines and should conduct a risk assessment and avoid introducing significant risks or impairing its role as an FRS issuer. The HKMA will assess the proposed business activities on a case-by-case basis, giving consideration to the risks involved and the effectiveness of measures to mitigate those risks. FRS issuers will be permitted to provide ancillary services such as wallet services for the FRS they issue, provided they implement procedures for segregating and safeguarding users' FRS and handling their deposit and withdrawal requests. However, they should avoid activities such as lending, financial intermediation, or other regulated activities such as those under the SFO, the Mandatory Provident Fund Schemes Ordinance, or the Insurance Ordinance. The FRS issuer must be a company incorporated in Hong Kong with a registered office in Hong Kong. Its chief executive, senior management team, and key personnel must be based in Hong Kong and must exercise effective management control of its FRS issuance and related activities. Key personnel include the functional heads of operations, IT systems, financial management, control and risk management, compliance and internal audit. Companies incorporated in other jurisdictions other than authorised institutions will need to establish a subsidiary in Hong Kong in order to apply for an FRS issuer license. The rationale for the local incorporation requirement is that it will allow the HKMA to supervise FRS issuers more effectively and provide greater protection to FRS users in the event of an FRS issuer's insolvency. FRS issuers will be required to have adequate financial resources, including a minimum paid-up share capital, to enable them to sustain their operations and absorb any losses. The minimum paid-up share capital will be the higher of 25 million Hong Kong dollars, or 1% of the par value of FRS in circulation. The HKMA will also impose a higher level of paid-up share capital requirement where appropriate. FRS issuers will be required to publish a white paper, which should include, amongst other things, general information about the FRS issuer, the rights and obligations of the FRS users, the relevant FRS stabilisation mechanisms, the arrangements relating to reserve management, information relating to the underlying technology, the risks associated with using the FRS, and the mechanism and procedures for issuance, distribution, and redemption. The white paper should be ready when the license application is submitted to the HKMA and should be published on the FRS issuer's website for public access. Senior management, including controllers, chief executives, and directors of an FRS issuer, must be fit and proper persons. Any appointment or changes in ownership or management of the FRS issuer require the prior consent of the HKMA. Applications regarding senior management will be reviewed individually by the HKMA, taking into account the applicant's previous supervising and financial experience, financial status and solvency, as well as educational qualifications. FRS issuers should ensure that they have in place systems of control sufficient for the appointment of senior management and other personnel that have the necessary knowledge and experience to enable the effective discharge of their responsibilities. The FRS issuer must have appropriate risk management processes and measures for its operations, including, amongst other things, adequate security and internal controls to ensure data and system security, detection measures for fraud and technological risks, robust contingency arrangements to address operational disruptions, and other operational and security safeguards. Incident management should also include establishing management policies and monitoring incident response mechanisms. Despite cost concerns, the FSTB and HKMA are of the view that FRS issuers should conduct risk assessments at least annually, regardless of their business size or the risk level of the FRS operation. The purpose is to identify any internal weaknesses that may undermine the effectiveness of FRS issuers' internal controls, risk management and governance on an ongoing basis. FRS issuers will be required to submit annual audited financial statements to the HKMA. When appointing an auditor, FRS issuers should consider the auditor's knowledge, expertise, resources and independence regarding relevant audit areas. The FSTB and the HKMA will provide further guidance on the scope of the audit in future guidelines. As and when required by the HKMA, FRS issuers will also need to submit reports prepared by external independent auditors and assessors confirming the management and operational soundness of their FRS issuance. FRS issuers will be required to adopt a risk-based approach and suitable measures to mitigate and manage risks relating to money laundering and terrorist financing, including those related to transactions with intermediaries. FRS issuers should also ensure that they have in place adequate and appropriate systems of control for the purpose of ensuring compliance with the applicable provisions of the AMLO, as well as any other relevant regulations or guidelines. In particular, FRS issuers should observe the relevant requirements pertaining to customer due diligence in relation to the FRS issuance and redemption, transaction monitoring and wire transfers as per the standards set out in the Financial Action Task Force and required under the AMLO. FRS issuers will also be required to provide FRS users with effective complaint handling and dispute resolution systems. These mechanisms should be accessible, affordable, independent, fair, accountable, timely and efficient. The FSTB and HKMA believe that this will help improve service quality as well as user experience. The FSTB and HKMA have noted that all entities would be eligible to apply for an FRS issuer license if they can satisfy the same set of licensing and regulatory requirements. Although there are certain exemptions for authorised institutions, these only pertain to licensing criteria regarding restrictions of business activities, physical presence in Hong Kong, and financial resources requirements. The FSTB and HKMA explained that these exemptions are intended to prevent regulatory inconsistencies and overlaps with existing banking regulations. The regulators consider that authorised institutions are already subject to stringent prudential requirements and ongoing supervision by the HKMA. When evaluating a license application from an authorised institution, the HKMA will consider the risk profile of the authorised institution to determine if a separate entity should be set up. The HKMA will be empowered to impose ongoing conditions on the licenses of FRS issuers. Conditions could relate, for example, to requirements for reserve assets or restrictions on the types of service an FRS issuer is permitted to provide. This power will allow the HKMA to address matters regarding a specific FRS issuer, such as operational risks, risk management effectiveness, and operation size. FRS issuers will be notified of the HKMA's intention to impose licensing conditions and will have the chance to make representations in response before the HKMA finalises a decision to proceed with attaching licensing conditions. FRS issuers are allowed to issue more than one FRS under their existing licence without needing to set up a separate entity or apply for a separate licence. To issue a new additional FRS, the FRS issuer will be required to provide the rationale for it, justify the use cases, and obtain the HKMA's prior consent. FRS licenses will be open-ended and remain valid until revoked by the HKMA. Licenses may be revoked due to non-compliance with the regulatory requirements or if the FRS issuer ceases to operate. In terms of licensing viability, FRS issuers will be expected to display their license number in a prominent place on advertisements and in accessible locations on their websites, as well as mobile applications for FRS users to identify licensed FRS issuers. By making the license information easily accessible, FRS issuers will be able to easily identify whether an FRS issuer is licensed or not, which is part of the regulator's drive for transparency. There will not be any specific format or mode of display for the license number. However, regardless of how FRS issuers decide to present this, the license number must be clear and easily discernible by users. The HKMA will also maintain a central register of all FRS licenses that will be accessible by the public. Only licensed FRS issuers, authorized institutions, licensed corporations, and licensed virtual asset trading platforms will be able to offer FRS in Hong Kong or actively market such an offering to the Hong Kong public. A licensed FRS issuer will only be permitted to offer FRS that it issues itself and not those issued by other issuers. Authorized institutions, licensed corporations, and licensed virtual asset trading platforms will only be allowed to offer FRS issued by HKMA licensed issuers to retail investors. They will only be able to offer FRS issued by unlicensed entities to professional investors as defined in Schedule 1 to the SFO and will need to indicate clearly that the FRS are not authorized by a licensed FRS issuer. Authorized institutions, licensed corporations, and licensed virtual asset trading platforms will not need to obtain an FRS license to offer FRS, but will need to comply with the relevant regulatory requirements applicable under their respective regimes and obtain the necessary approvals from their regulating authority before offering FRS. The term offer means a public communication in any form that provides sufficient information about the terms of the offer and how the FRS can be obtained to enable individuals to decide whether to acquire the FRS. This proposed definition of offer references the regulatory regimes of other jurisdictions. The FSTB and HKMA are considering whether to allow SVF licensees to offer FRS, and they have noted that they do not see an immediate need to make a decision at the moment. They will continue to assess the evolving landscapes and make a decision as and when appropriate. On the other hand, the FSTB and HKMA are working with relevant authorities on the possibility of allowing licensed virtual asset over-the-counter service providers to offer FRS, subject to the finalization and implementation of the licensing regime for virtual asset OTC trading. During the consultation period, some respondents suggested allowing retail access to FRS issued by foreign issuers who do not hold an FRS license from the HKMA, subject to proper due diligence being conducted by specified licensed entities or predefined regulatory criteria. Others suggested that the HKMA should explore the possibility of implementing a passporting arrangement or entering into mutual recognition agreements with jurisdictions which have equivalent licensing regimes in place. The FSTB and HKMA noted the cross-border nature of FRS and the potential value of these transactions for various use cases, but they remain concerned that many FRS currently operate outside the purview of any regulatory regime and about the implications this has for the stability mechanisms adopted by these FRS and the potential risks they may pose when used by the general public. The regulators are therefore adopting a cautious approach and will consider formal regulatory cooperation mechanisms with other jurisdictions as and when equivalent regimes are established. The timing of these arrangements will be largely dependent on the progress of international regulatory developments in this area, and the regulators will maintain close dialogue with other regulators on this issue. Given the ever-evolving nature of the industry, the HKMA will be given flexibility to address new risks arising from emerging types of stablecoins, activities or entities by giving it the power to adjust the parameters of in-scope stablecoin and activities. In exercising this power, the HKMA would have regard to any risks to the Hong Kong market or the investing public. In assessing the materiality of the situation and the severity of the risks involved, the HKMA would take into account factors such as the number and type of users, the number and value of transactions, the size and type of reserve assets, the value in circulation, market share, the interconnectedness with the financial systems, and the business structural and operational complexity. The FSTB and HKMA explained that it's impractical to compile an exhaustive list of conditions and factors that would necessitate adjusting the regulatory parameters. The regulators say they will continue to maintain close communication with market participants to identify any need to exercise this power. The HKMA will be given the power to intervene in the operations of an FRS licensee when, in consultation with the Financial Secretary, it's of the opinion that the FRS licensee is or is likely to become insolvent or unable to meet its obligations. In carrying on its business in a manner detrimental to the interests of its users or creditors, or has contravened any of its licensing conditions or provisions of the proposed regulatory regime. The HKMA will also be given other supervisory powers to ensure that FRS licensees will continuously meet the statutory requirements. These include powers to gather information, give directions, make regulations and issue guidelines. The HKMA will also be empowered to conduct investigations where there is reasonable cause to believe that an offence may have been committed. Its powers would include the ability to direct an investigator to conduct an investigation and to apply to a Hong Kong magistrate for search warrants and seizures. Given the importance of ensuring protection of FRS users, the HKMA will continue to issue press releases and reminders to the general public from time to time to alert them of suspicious FRS issuers and websites and highlight the importance of exercising caution and vigilance. The proposed criminal offences and sanctions have been formulated by the FSTB and HKMA with reference to the AMLO and other relevant regulations and will be further refined in consultation with the DOJ. The conduct of any activity for which an FRS issuer license is required without a license will be a criminal offence. As I mentioned earlier, an FRS issuer will need to be licensed in order to issue an FRS in Hong Kong, issue a Hong Kong dollar reference stablecoin, or actively market its issuance of FRS to the Hong Kong public. It will also be an offence to advertise an issue of FRS by an unlicensed issuer. Since only specified entities, that's licensed FRS issuers, authorised institutions and SFC licensed corporations and virtual asset trading platforms, will be allowed to offer FRS in Hong Kong, it will be an offence for any other person to offer FRS or advertise an offering for FRS. Additional offences will include providing false information to the HKMA and failing to produce documents required by the HKMA. The penalties for the various offences will be aligned with those under comparable legislation such as the AMLO and the SFO. The HKMA will also be empowered to impose various civil and supervisory sanctions for breach of the regulatory requirements, including suspension or revocation of license, warnings, reprimands, or a pecuniary penalty not exceeding the higher of 10 million Hong Kong dollars or 3 times the amount of profit gained or loss avoided as a result of the contravention. An appeal tribunal mechanism will be set up to allow appeals against HKMA decisions. Under the transitional arrangements, existing FRS issuers conducting FRS issuance activities with a meaningful and substantial presence in Hong Kong prior to the implementation of the new licensing regime may continue to operate for a 6-month non-contravention period on condition that they submit an FRS license application to the HKMA within the first 3 months. Those that do not submit an FRS license application in the first 3 months will have to close down their business in an orderly manner by the end of the 4th month. What will be considered meaningful and substantial operations in Hong Kong will be evaluated by the HKMA with reference to factors such as whether the entity operating the FRS issuance is incorporated in Hong Kong, whether it has a physical office in Hong Kong with staff exercising central management and control over the FRS issuance, and whether the FRS it issues have been circulated to independent FRS users and not just to its own associated entities. The regulators are drafting a bill to implement the regulatory proposal, which will be introduced into LegCo later this year. Additionally, the HKMA will issue licensing and supervisory guidelines in due course to aid the applicant's understanding of the relevant requirements. When the FSTB and HKMA issued their consultation paper in December 2023, it was also announced that the HKMA would introduce a sandbox arrangement for stablecoin issuers. The sandbox allows participants to test the feasibility of their intended business models and communicate with the HKMA to understand how to comply with future regulatory requirements. The HKMA can communicate supervisory expectations and guidance to parties planning to issue FRS in Hong Kong and obtain feedback on the proposed regulatory regime. Participation in the sandbox is not a prerequisite for applying for stablecoin issuer license when the new regime takes effect. To be eligible for the sandbox, applicants must be able to demonstrate that they have a genuine interest in and a reasonable plan for issuing fiat reference stablecoins in Hong Kong. A concrete plan for participating in the sandbox and have a reasonable prospect of complying with the proposed regulatory requirements. In determining an applicant's eligibility, the HKMA will take into account a range of factors such as the proposed use case, stabilization mechanism, management of reserve assets and user protection. Applicants are expected to explain how their network, supply chain or major partners can drive long-term demand for the stablecoin they issue and must include specific plans on using the sandbox to demonstrate the robust processes to be put in place for the issuance, distribution and redemption of the stablecoin in full compliance with the future regulatory requirements. On the 18th of July 2024, the HKMA announced the first batch of three participants admitted to the sandbox: Jingdong CoinLink Technology, RD Innotech, and a coalition of Standard Chartered Bank, Animoca Brands, and Hong Kong Telecom. These participants are now able to test their proposed business models within a limited scope as specified by the HKMA. The primary use cases proposed by the first batch of sandbox participants include payments, supply chain management, and applications in capital markets. They are designed to target pain points in the movement of funds across financial institutions, payment services companies, and settlement systems in different time zones. The sandbox participants have also proposed applications of their stablecoins in other areas such as Web3, gaming, and virtual asset trading. Depending on the participants' plans, testing progress, and sophistication of risk management, the HKMA may fine-tune the permitted operational parameters and testing scope of a sandbox participant as appropriate. So that brings us to the conclusion of my presentation. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you found the webinar useful and see you again. Bye.